The Sean Green Show. Sean covers all things entertainment. Movies, books, news, concerts, television, video games, the entertainment guru. Sean covers it all. This is the Sean Green Show podcast. The Sean Green Show podcast on WGN Plus and SeanGreenShow.com.
Welcome back to the Sean Green Show. I'm Sean Green. I want to thank everybody out there that's listening. Hey, make sure you guys go to SeanGreenShow.com. Yes, that is SeanGreenShow.com. All the latest news, interviews, and podcasts are up at SeanGreenShow.com. Also, you can check me out on WGNPlus.com. That is WGNPlus.com and Sean Green Show Media, if you want to check me out on Facebook, and if you want to follow me on Twitter, it's at Sean Green Show. It's been a while since I've actually done a podcast. A lot of personal things I was dealing with, especially with, you know, my other gig, and I told everybody about this about 20 million times about it, but we're back, new and improved Sean Green Show. And I figured what I should do is kind of pick up where I left off right before I went to the AVN Awards 2017. So I want to bring in somebody who's pretty much well-known in the adult toy industry, Brian Sloan. He's an American entrepreneur known for creating a number of sex toys. One of my favorites is the Auto Blow 2. So that was one of the toys that honestly, when I first heard about it, I thought it was a gag. I didn't think it was going to be what I thought it was, but it actually turned out being exactly what it was. So let's bring him in here. Brian Sloan. Hey, what's going on, buddy?
Hi. How, you know, you forgot to mention the best part, which is that you are using that during the interview.
Oh, yeah. So, I actually got it sitting right here in my lap. So if you catch me losing breath, that's because, you know, I'm actually using that. So exactly. One of the things I really like about you is that you were pretty much an everyday guy, and you say, you know what, screw this. I'm going to go to work for myself and create this industry in which has a high demand, even though people kind of shun away from it. So, you know, tell everyone that probably don't know your backstory.
Yeah, so I graduated from law school, actually, in 2005. And during law school, I pretty much realized that making money as a lawyer is about the most difficult way one can make money in the world. And make a long story short, I started going to auctions, buying stuff, selling it on eBay after law school. And then one thing led to another. I went to China for a vacation, and then I realized I wanted to move there. And it was from there I moved to China in 2007, and I lived there for 10 years building my sex toy company.
Yeah, so, I mean, and you're originally from Chicago, and a lot of people don't know that. I mean, people like in the industry know that you're from Chicago, but, you know, being from Chicago, and the way that sex is looked upon here, it's kind of crazy that you are from Chicago and you came up with, like, this totally cool concept.
Yeah, I'm from Skokie, of all places, actually. And, yeah, you know, I think the thing is people think that the concept is unusual, but to me, it makes a lot of sense because all I do is I make something that has a lot of demand and not enough brands making the products. So to me, that's about the most reasonable thing I could think to do with my life. But I realize that some other people, people think there's a stigma for people who make adult toys. But 99% of the time, I found that this stigma doesn't actually exist. It only exists in people's minds who think it exists.
Right. And I was going to ask you that, like, have you lost any, like, opportunities, you know, just being in the sex toy industry, like people that really wanted to do business with you, but then they pulled you to the side and were like, you know what, I don't think this is something we want to promote. Have you ran into a lot of that?
No, actually, there was an entrepreneur group I wanted to join at one time in China. And those people didn't let me in at first because it was kind of a support network of entrepreneurs. They didn't let me in because they thought that my reputation, that I had a bad reputation and it would reflect on them. And when they looked for investors, maybe people would see that they associated with me and then they would think less of those people. But the funny thing is, once my products became popular on the internet and I was on BuzzFeed and Huffington Post and all this kind of stuff, they apologized to me and let me into the organization. So they realized that they had made a judgment error and that actually there's not the stigma that they think.
Now, are most of your products crowdfunded or is this pretty much, is the products pretty much invested by somebody that actually believes in the product because you just go out and do the crowdfunding?
No, this is all, the business is totally self-funded. I don't have any investors. I did crowdfund three products before, the Autoblow 2, Slap Happy, and 3FAP. 3FAP is the newest one, actually. But no, the business is just, it funds itself from its sales. The part of the business are these products that I do crowdfunding for that end up in retailers around the country. The other side of the business is that we sell on Amazon and Groupon all kinds of, like, really inexpensive, everyday, normal kind of sex toys that you wouldn't know are mine, but they are.
Really?
Like, if you bought an $11 dildo on Amazon, you might buy that for me, but you wouldn't. I don't advertise that that's us.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, and you mentioned some new stuff. Let's talk about the new stuff you got going on. So let's talk about that.
Yeah, so one product just got into retail stores recently. It's called 3FAP. It was crowdfunded on Indiegogo. Basically, the idea is that it's, you know, normally when a guy buys a sex toy, he buys either a mouth or a vagina or a butt, and he only gets one hole and one texture.
Right.
But I made a toy that actually has all three holes right next to each other, and each channel has a different texture, and each level of suction of each hole can be independently controlled. And if you're familiar with the word FAP, are you familiar with the word FAP?
Oh, yeah, I'm familiar with the word FAP. I do it about twice a day.
Okay, some people aren't. It's the noise. It's the noise it makes when a man pleasures himself.
Yeah.
FAP, FAP, FAP. So I called it 3FAP. So that's new, and we're working on Autoblow 3 right now. I think it's still a year away from retail, but we really are making a huge advancement right now in terms of what a male sex toy can do and how close we can get to replicating an actual sexual act.
Yeah, because one of the things that I saw when I was out at the Avian Expo in January was the emergence of, like, virtual reality being in combination with the sex toys. So are you going to go that route eventually? Because a lot of people, you know, it's one thing for the feeling, but some people like the visual as well. And I saw a lot of the virtual reality being it kind of coexists with the original sex toy. And one of the things that I thought would be really cool was get like an auto blow with the VR goggles. That would be fucking awesome. So that was one of the things that I actually looked at.
So my answer for this is in two parts. First, the new product, the first version, won't incorporate anything. All it needs really to do that is Bluetooth.
Mm-hmm.
And there are already people out there who want to work with us, who already create the content. All we need to do is connect to their kind of API, and then we can offer basically a product that will work with porn. So it'll move when things move in the porn. The virtual reality thing is another step ahead. The thing is, there's not yet widespread adoption of those headsets. And I think one of the biggest problems we're dealing with in the entire sex toy industry is that consumers have been conditioned to not buy products that cost more than $200. Okay?
Uh-huh.
So, you know, if I could make a product, and, you know, first, to think about it, to use the virtual reality, first of all, you need to have one. And those are like $1,000, and you need a PC. Right.
So
number two, you need to then buy an accessory, the sex toy that works with it. And to really make a good one, the retail price of something like that maybe should cost $300 or $400. So I think the biggest problem isn't so much the technology side. It's that
the cost.
It's that people. Yeah, it's just a cost thing. I could make something awesome. If I had something that I could sell for $500 retail, I think I could make something awesome, but no one's really doing it yet before they're sure that the headsets are going to be widely adopted. And I also probably wouldn't make something for the current generation of headsets, because by the time I develop, you know, a development cycle for any product is normally 2 years in total. So imagine I spend 2 years starting today, and what's going to happen in 2 years to the headsets? It's going to be a totally different model in 2 years, and it's going to be like, look at my awesome product. It works with, you know, like PlayStation 2 or something. It's not going to be. So I'm happy to wait it out until there's wide adoption of that. And then in the end, maybe even not make it, because I really like that people can pleasure themselves with my products simply.
Yeah.
And they don't have to gear up and plug in and configure and pair. And they're just asking for so many things going wrong. And when you think about the essence of self-pleasure, it's something that people want to do spontaneously, and they want to do it, you know, in a way that doesn't require technical interference.
Yeah.
So maybe if other people want to make all this high-tech stuff, they can have a nice day doing it. I'll probably stick to low to medium tech stuff.
Yeah, I just thought about it too. Like if I got in the mood and I was, you know, at my home, and you know, I have to like boot up my computer, and Lord forbid you're on a PC, it's gonna take forever to boot up. And by the time everything boots up, you're out the mood. So that's one of the things you just made me think about. Another thing I definitely want to ask you was about the product testing. So how does all that come about when you do the product testing? Do you have, like, you know, I'm envisioning like a room, and you may have a couple of guys there, and you have the test product, the prototypes out, and they go to work and they say, hey, this is good, and hey, this is bad. Is that how it normally works?
No, actually, you know, the products are made in China, and so around the factory, the closest people, I think, to like American or European consumers are, and who would actually want to do this kind of work, are expat English teachers. And we basically have a program to recruit a number of these foreign English teachers who want some side work that's relatively interesting. Yeah. And we just have them test things, and then they fill out a questionnaire. We have phone calls with them, so that at least a number of people have tested things before they go into production.
Oh, wow.
So it's the English teachers of China. And in addition to teaching English, Chinese people, they masturbate into my products and tell us how it goes.
Oh, wow. So, all right. So, I mean, you've been in this business since about, 2005, I believe, right? And
2007, something like that.
Yeah. So, I mean, you've seen a lot. What are some of the, just the total rewards of being in this industry? Because, like you said, there is some taboo to it. But I can also see, you know, like just the overall, just rewards of being in this industry, because, I don't know if you had, you know, celeb, I know that I've seen the celeb, I guess cast toys and stuff like that. So, I mean, have you seen that side of the business yet?
You mean the porn people?
Yeah, like if you had like, let's say, like a Sarah J or a Jada Fire, and they had like one of those.
No, the porn industry and the toy industry is almost totally separate, to be honest.
Really?
And I didn't go down the route of, our events are, sometimes they mix the events together, but they're separate. It's just because the companies that run the event run all aspects of the adult industry. It's very separate. I mean, think about it. Porn people, you know, hire people to have sex on camera and distribute films. We make plastic and rubber and silicone things in China, ship them around the world, and sell them to people on websites. I mean, it's totally different industry, actually, but people associate them with each other. I chose not to work with porn stars. Instead, I held these contests. I had vagina contests and anus contests and the bald contests, and I actually took my molds from the people from those contests instead of porn stars, because porn stars has been done a million times. It's not interesting for me personally. But the only interesting No, so, but I like just the people I met in the industry. You know, I have a lot of resellers. We sell to almost all the chains in the U.S. And when I go to events and shows, I have a good time. There's the other people in the novelty industry are good people, and we have a good time, but it's not wild or crazy. It's pretty tame. You know, it's just everyone happens to be either a seller or a manufacturer. You wouldn't know the difference between our conference and the plumbers conference.
Yeah, and I kind of noticed that too at AVN, as far as there was a slight difference between, you know, interacting with the porn stars and the actual sex toy, the industry, because I did meet a couple that were, you know, they were pretty just all about business. They were pretty down to let me know, you know, the ups and downs of their product and which one worked out best for me, and as well as other things too. So, like I said before, it's like people kind of look at all this stuff as taboo, but this is a business, and this is a big business, and you make yourself a success in this business, and we have nothing but more good things to come from your business. So, man, thanks for all that, man. How soon can we get the Auto Blow 3? When would it be introduced to the masses?
Auto Blow 3 is still about a year away. We're just in the second prototype. We have some more work to do, but we're pretty close to something that we're going to manufacture. But people are still welcome to pleasure themselves with the Auto Blow 2 Plus, or if they are men who crave variety, they may try out 3 FAPs, where they can enjoy all the holes in one place.
And there you have it. Brian Sloan, he's the American entrepreneur from Chicago. If you want to check out all his products, you can go to autoblow2.com. And also check out the new product is three FAP. The 3FAP.
It's just
3FAP.com. Yeah. Go to 3FAP.com. Make sure you check out those products. Oh, I got to ask you this. Are you going to be at AVN 2018?
No.
Oh, no.
Are you going to be there?
I most definitely will be there. So, hope.
It's too bad. Probably I won't be there, but I moved to Berlin, actually, so if you ever come to Berlin for anything, then send me a mail and we'll hang out.
Definitely, man. So check him out. Make sure you guys check out all his good products. Brian Sloan, thank you so much for joining us, man.
Great. Thanks for having me.
All right, and we'll be back right after this.
Thanks for listening to The Sean Green Show, the entertainment guru. You can friend him on Facebook, Sean Green Show Media, or follow him on Twitter, at Sean Green Show. The Sean Green Show on WGN Plus and SeanGreenShow.com.